paradox. But once again, this is deep philosophical thinking. When we share that with our students, we open doors in their minds, open doors and windows.
It brings me to another question. Your approach to art, your position is philosophical. I'm going to, take a little poetic license here. Bordering on spiritual, bordering on esoteric. So I'm going to ask this question a different way. What would you say to a young artist, art student, who says, there's really no spiritual dimension, or it's really not important, complexity in art, perhaps depth is not important. But if we look at artists like John Coltrane, North Carolina native, we see that there was a spiritual dimension to all of his work.
Exactly.
So what would you say to that student who says, I want to keep it surface. I want to make money.
I would say to them, follow your heart. If that's what you believe, then what you believe will determine your destiny or your fate. I'm not asking a person to believe me. I'm only offering a person what I understand to be true. It is my truth. It isn't theirs. I'm not asking them to embrace my truth. I'm simply asking them to hear me. Hear the words that I speak. Walk with it as something that you embrace or that you don't embrace. It doesn't matter to me.
There's a sort of objectivity and non-judgmental aspect to your art. I mean, it doesn't seem as though you're trying to impose your thoughts on the viewer. It's, you're simply laying out your ideas. I see that.
It's an offering. That's what it is, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to just revisit sort of this initial question about, we were talking about North Carolina space. You're a Greensboro native. Yes. I just want you to speak briefly about North Carolina and how that sort of feeds or informs your art. I mean, North Carolina, it's a unique place in regards to art production.
Yes, that's a funny question, and I regret to tell you that I don't have much to offer in response to that question. I happen to be in North Carolina. I could be anywhere on the planet. I'm not saying that being anywhere on the planet would not influence my aesthetic, but I'm not the type of person that identifies with isms, okay? That's why, and so I'll leave it at that. I'm not an ism person, so you won't find me waving a flag. Yes, no. Right? I just happen to be in North Carolina. Happy to be here, but I don't have any sense of identification with North Carolina as being important or relevant in my experience.
So how then are you framing it? Is it an interstellar, interplanetary framework? Are you a global, universal, how are you describing?
I am certainly a universal citizen. I am going to call a name here. Jalaluddin Rumi. Some people know him by the name Rumi, a 13th century mystic poet who said that when I go into the synagogue, when I go into the church, when I go into the temple, I think that was it, the three different religious groups that were mainstream at his time, the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, and the Muslim faith. I see only one altar. Those were his words. So at his death, people came from all groups to honor him and honor his passage through this world. He came as a messenger. And so I walk like that. I have a significant identification with the mystical side of Islam, the mystical side of Christianity, the mystical side of Judaism. There's only one spirit. We call it by many names.
I want to talk about some of the materials you are using in your exhibit on campus, because I know we talked about some of that offline. And so, there seemed to be meaning in all of these materials that you were using to create certain pieces. Talk about that for a minute. Well, reusability, recycled material. I mean, that's important.
Well, there's a lot of recycling. And so two works of art that are constructions that are assemblages, they are actually found objects for the most part, with a few photographs from my family photo album. They are created as honoring ancestors, so I call them ancestor memorials. And then I have paper elements that are used, and people look at it and they think they're looking at metal, but it's actually paper. Those suspended polyhedron, they're actually mat board, yes, that's been painted. So light and inexpensive, why not? You see, there's no reason to take, these are studies actually. So I'm actually working with a lot of studies for the purpose of saying this is a possibility. Can this be realized in a public space? My job is to offer myself as an artist who is creating works for the public, okay, in public spaces. But the way you get there is that you make maquettes and studies, models, what they call models. So that's what they are, really.
Working through ideas.
Yes, exactly. Presenting the ideas, making it so that someone can get an idea of what I'm thinking. So I create a study. Those are all studies in there.
But that's actually a unique way of thinking about art, because sometimes students, art students, look at art, young art students look at art as though it was a sort of a final statement, so to speak.
Permanent statement.
Right. Yes, and yes. So your take is that this is actually, you're still working through ideas.
Right. Yes.
You're still looking for feedback, response.
Yeah.
Still working. None of this is resolved. Many things are not resolved.
Well, there are ideas. You know, there are ideas, and ideas are here to be acted upon or to be transformed into something that becomes realized. But they're sketches. That's what it is.
Hmm.
You know, I sketch in 3D, okay? I do a lot of my sketching in 3D. I don't do a lot of drawing in terms of my sculptural ideas. You won't see a body of drawings in my studio. You'll see all of these forms. The forms line the wall, you see? But they're all studies. That's how I sketch in 3D, not on paper.
Interesting. And so there's this connection even in this sort of developmental stage of your work, hands-on sort of, you're not detached. Yes, building.
Yes. And so, you know, there's a lot. In 1990, I had a solo exhibition at Green Hills Center for North Carolina Art, and I was standing behind two young people who were looking at this work of art, and they said, oh, you can make that on a computer. And I was behind them, and I simply laughed inside, and I said, that's really funny. I am the computer. Yes, you can make it with a computer, and I am the computer. It looks, and so these drawings on the wall in the gallery here, people look at them and they imagine that was created by a computer. Yes, the computer happens to be me, using a compass and a straight edge, and a knowledge of some ancient body of, let's just say, an ancient body of knowledge that has been overlooked for centuries. And once it is reintroduced, once again, some lights are going to be turned on in the minds and hearts of people.
This is the last question. Let's talk about the difference between computer renderings and human renderings. I mean, is there a difference? I mean, because to the eye, you're saying that these young people feel as though this can be recreated. So is there a difference, as you said, as an artist, between a computer rendering and...
There's a statement that I hope to put on the walls in the exhibition, and has to do with transferring of essence. Okay? Now, I'm not big on the use of technology, and I have to say that I believe that there is a transfer, like our African ancestors said and understood, part of your spirit essence goes into what you make. Now, how can a machine called a computer transfer that essence? I'm not sure it can. I'm not sure it cannot. But I'm certainly not certain that it can.
I like how you left room for the possibility, but we've yet to realize that, I think, as artists, perhaps.
Yes.
Perhaps, to my young artists. Okay, once again, thank you for the conversation. Hopefully we can continue this at some other later moment. Van Dorn, go ahead, sir.
What I want to say to the listening audience is that I'm very excited about the possibility of your visiting this exhibition of 59 works of art that go back to 1989. And enjoy the visit. Thank you.
All right, yes, please come out to the exhibit. Again, October 30th through March 31st at the Diggs Gallery on Winston-Salem State University's campus. Vibrations, Frequency, and the Phenomenon of Relationship. The opening reception is later on this evening at 6 p.m. in the Diggs Gallery on Winston-Salem State University's campus. So I look forward to seeing you all there later on this evening.